Fun one for me today on 301. Jackson Subert joins the show. He is the guy who stepped in after myself at long snapper for the Hawkeyes in 2018 and 19. And we talk all about special teams, how he got into long snapping, and a whole lot more. Jackson's one of my favorite dudes that I've ever played with. Best teammate I've ever had. Jackson Subert, everybody. Let's have a day. Let's go. And welcome in to the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. I don't know what episode this is because, as I just informed my guest, it's probably going to be recorded a little bit in advance, but this is going to be a special one for me. Obviously, if you're clicking on the episode, you know who the guest is for this episode. It's Jackson Subert, the successor to myself in the most illustrious position, really, inside of Hawkeye football, and I would say any team, and long snapper, but I'm going to call him Jimmy because that's what I call him. He's in my phone as Jimmy Sub. Jimmy, welcome to the pod.
Hey, I appreciate you having me come on. I'm looking forward to it.
Kevin and Drake are not here for those listening. This is going to be potentially, who knows? I think you'll enjoy Jackson's story. I think everybody's story that we have on this podcast is good, but this is a long snapper on long snapper conversation, and this might turn into, which we've had of many, right?
This is elite air right here. So, I mean, I would say anybody can be a part of it.
I would say so as well. Jackson and I spent a lot of time standing on the sidelines, watching elite athletes play football, just, you know, letting the low back recover between reps.
We got great seats. I mean, and it's a great place to breed good conversation. So I feel like skills that you had on the sideline probably transferred over into the podcast world, if I had to make a guess.
That's probably a good assumption. I think that you and the rest of the crew who used to call me dad.
Indeed. Yep.
I think everyone would probably agree that I like to talk, and I was no stranger to running my mouth. Especially because when you were there, I was sort of except for the errant year that we had old Ron Caluzzi in the house as well.
You were the old man of the crew.
I was. For those that don't know, and I'll give a little bit of background, then I'll let you fill in the details. Jackson Subert came in the, what we like to call the golden year of Iowa football.
Yeah.
2015, had it nice and sweet. Didn't know
no idea what was going on. But yeah,
you had
good.
No idea. That whole class, you, Brady Ross, everybody in that class, you thought you had it real good. It's real easy to win 12 games, you know, go to big.
Yeah, this college football stuff is like, this is what it, like, people complain about. Like, all you have to do is show up
and they just, you know,
yeah, in the West,
the wins go in the dub column.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the time, I was in my third season as a starter, going into my third season as a starter out of four. I had started in no. I was going in my second year.
Yeah,
I was going into my second year. Jackson comes in, so my third year in the program, second year starting. Jackson, you're from good old hometown Williamsburg, Iowa.
It's a long road trip.
Oh yeah. That's a bus ride you could fall asleep on. No, that's right down the road. Everybody knows where Williamsburg is at. And until you came into the program, really the only connection we had to Williamsburg was obviously the Blythe blood runs strong through those parts. And not only Austin, but Corbin came through in our class. And then by the time you got there, he had already moved on. Tell me about the years in Williamsburg. And how did Jackson Subert, because I read here, you know, on your Hawkeye profile, selected to compete in the Shrine Bowl, which I was as well. But you were a snapper, tight end, and defensive end. So tell me how, you know, young Jackson, what the dream was, and then how did the dream slip into what it did for many of us in the profession? It was like, ah, I guess I'll just long snap. How'd we get there?
Yeah. No. So going back, you know, I was lucky. I hit puberty nice and early. So the younger years, I was, you know, thinking that I was going to be, you know, the next best thing since sliced bread.
You were going to be AJ Epinesa.
Yo, for sure. Unfortunately, other people catch up at some point. So sports get a little bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. So I have my dad actually to thank from a young age. I just remember him telling me we just do it, you know, not knowing that it would really turn into much, but at least for like a high school team or whatever, he just said, you know, it's something that every team needs and basically nobody practices, which I think you and I can both attest to. You go to different camps around the country and there's a lot of kickers and punters. There's a handful of long snappers. So, you know, the pool you're competing against is a little bit smaller, which is nice.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, when the athletic ability starts to run dry a little bit. So, so he was really the main reason that it was kind of even on my radar. Kind of as I went through high school, it was probably becoming a little bit more evident that while I was a decent athlete, it wasn't going to be D1 level. So I think my sophomore year maybe was the first time I started going to kind of like taking it a little bit more seriously. I went to some Coles camps and stuff, trying to get, you know, get out there, get on the radar and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely a different gig trying to get recruited as a specialist.
The parallels run deep, by the way, because this is similar to my story about sophomore year.
Yep.
Is when that athletic advantage ran out.
Yes. Yes.
I was 5, you know, I didn't hit puberty early, but you know, I hit it in middle school. I got up to 5'10" by freshman year, 5'10", and I was a solid 200 pounds. And I was playing running back, similar to you playing tight end and D. Really, what I should have done was play D end. I didn't know how fun D end was at the time. I'd always been a linebacker, and I had a lot of fun there as well. But yeah, man, I was running over kids freshman year, and then sophomore year things started to change. It was a little bit different. So
that
your dad early on had you snapping the ball.
I remember basically. So played college and played football in college. He's been a high school coach, so he's, you know, been around it. And I remember first day of, he was my J-High 7th grade coach in Williamsburg at the time. That was like first time putting on pads and stuff.
Yep.
So we had, you know, like the old school tryouts for punter.
Step right up.
Yep. And we just had a big, big old line. And he just told me, like, because I'd kind of done it before, he's like, yeah, like, I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to be the long snapper. And then you're just going to snap to all these.
You got to feed all these guys. Oh, my God.
And it was the sample set was one. You had one good punt. You go to the one line, one bad one, out.
That's incredible.
We got 30 kids to get through. We're not giving any do-overs.
Right. And it's 7th grade, right? So like, we're not going to spend, once we determine who this punter is, we're not going to practice anyway. So it's like, you know, could you imagine if we would have done that at Iowa with like, you know, we had the luxury of that many punters or kickers, and it was just like, all right, you get one shot
and
first rep in period.
I mean, and that's going to be it. So you better make it count with everybody watching. But I mean, at one point, how many specialists did we have in the room? It would have been like your junior year going it. Like we had double digits.
It was deep. Like, so, oh gosh, let me see. It would have been you, me, Spiewak, and Marshall Kaluzi. Remember that?
Marshall. And then Miguel.
We had four snappers. We had We had Miguel, Keith, Shudak, and I think there was just three kickers.
Josh Prohl would have been in there.
Prohl.
Josh Prohl and Ben Canby.
Oh, Canby. People don't know about the two legends, man. They really don't. So, quick sidebar. I want to tell the people.
Yes, please.
These are names that unless you are from Solon, Iowa, or where was Canby from?
Mount Pleasant.
So we're just hitting every small town around the area to find our specialists. Josh Prohl and Ben Canby are two names that you guys in the Iowa Hawkeye community have never heard of. You've never heard of them. Unless, again, you're from one of those two towns. But those two dudes, first of all, Prohl's a legend.
And at this point, he was like 4 years at least older than me.
Yeah.
He is like a paramedic and firefighter at this point.
Yeah.
And then just like kind of decided to try his hand at kicking. Like,
yeah. And wasn't too shabby at it, man.
No.
Like, guy could kick the ball. He had some power. You know what? He was good enough. Both of these guys were good enough that if we had to send him out there, their one rep might have gotten it done, you know?
Like, Ben Canby's A-ball. I don't know if I've seen too many better than, like, in person. Naughty.
Dude, the first time I saw him kick, I thought we had our next punter. I was like,
for sure.
I was like, holy shit, this guy's putting him into the ceiling of the indoor. He's turning these things over into space. I mean, he's sending these things to Mars. And then you realize, like, it's funny because I love that it's just us two because Kevin and Drake would interrupt us.
I was going to say, they wouldn't appreciate this.
No. Much. And for the listeners at home, you're getting a real, real condensed. This is like a real real condensed episode of like, this is the nitty gritty. So I've talked about the A ball before, right?
Mm-hmm.
A snapper's A ball or a kicker's A ball. It's more relevant with a kicker or punter, but a snapper has an A ball too, right?
Oh, for sure.
And I talk about Kornbrath a lot, which he was before your time, but I have more, even bigger than Canby. I mean, significantly better than Canby. I'm telling you, Jackson, I've never seen, and you know me, I snapped at those camps too. I went to the Under Armour game out of the Kohl's system. I even snapped to, it's so funny. I don't know if you listen to Pat McAfee at all.
Not a ton.
If you, for anybody listening or for you, Jackson, if you're interested, go to the Bussin' with the Boys episode with Taylor.
Okay,
you know who they are, right? So search the Bussin' podcast. Pat was on there about a month ago or so. And he tells the story about how just a few years ago, he thought about coming back out of retirement because Jamie Cole was working with the Bears as their kicking coach. And when they had the whole double doink situation going on, they were like, hey, do you know of anyone who could come in and be solid? And Jamie reached out to McAfee. Not a lot of people know this, dude. So get this. I'm fucking sitting right here in this office. I mean, probably downstairs. And I get a text from my brother, who at the time was on his way into the program, trying to snap at Iowa. And Jamie knew that and had been in contact with LeVar and everything. And my brother goes, hey, do you want to snap to McAfee? And I said, what do you mean? I responded like, what the hell are you talking?
Just confusion.
Complete confusion, dude. And it just so happened that he goes, Jamie just texted me. He's got McAfee with him and Matt Hawk, who's from Dowling, homegrown Iowa boy who now punts for the Bills and started with the Dolphins. He's my age. So McAfee, and this is the middle of the summer, kind of when the NFL players had a break. I've got McAfee. Jamie's basically like, hey, I've got McAfee and Matt Hawk, and we need to get some reps in. We need somebody to snap to us. And, oh, by the way, not only that, but Daniel Carlson as well.
Yeah.
So
just some low-level, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, some guys that are getting paid
just
all the money.
Yeah.
So Daniel Carlson, Pat McAfee, and Matt Hawk are in the building. And who do they call but the Kluver brothers to snap for these guys? So I speed my ass up through Ankeny, pick up my brother, drive straight up to Ames. We do it in the Iowa State indoor. and the outdoor. It was a nice day. And all of a sudden, we're just snapping to McAfee. And I was like, holy shit. So
let me ask, when was the last time you touched a ball before that?
It's a great question. So this would have been the summer of 2019. And the last time that I had legitimately snapped, you know, I'd probably done like a few. So spring of 18 is when I, you know, I hung it up, and I can't wait to talk about you hanging it up as well. And like the NFL and how hard it is to get there. Cause we're going to talk about a lot of things where I've never even had the conversation with you, because it was always just about like whatever was happening in the building. I probably had snapped 20 balls, you know, 20 legit, like, let me get down in my stance and fire one back at 14. And then I got myself straight into a session where I probably sent back 60 or 70, you know, to NFL guys. So I'm trying to rip it and make it look good. And it was to service them. As you know, the snapper is there to service. Right. And so, you know, they need reps. And so I'm just firing it back. I mean, we're ripping at a rate that is not advised, you know. And we've all been there. You and I have been there where it's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, we're just hitting reps at this point. Are these quality? You know, like what's going on?
Quantity over quality.
So I don't even know where that story came about. I have no idea how that came up, but yeah, that's,
I was gonna say, I kind of lost us too, but it was a good story.
Yeah. I have no idea. Anyway, you're back to high school. You decide you're going to snap, and or how did that go in your head? Because obviously you still played tight end, defensive end through senior year, but when did the recruiting / this is the route I'm going to go? When did that change? Sophomore year.
So it kind of started in sophomore year, and it didn't really take hold until my senior year. So senior year, late, like season ended. This is
Wow, really?
And I had no idea where I was going to go. Mm-hmm. At this point, hadn't even talked to Iowa. And it was like December. This is close to the Hawk Slayer Bowl, before.
So this is December of 2014.
Correct. So I got an email from my coach, and that said Coach Morgan was going to be in the building. And didn't even say like Coach Morgan from Iowa. Like, I had some like lower level people kind of stopping through, so I didn't even know like it was Iowa. So I was completely lost. So I went to walk in, and my dad's like, or that night's like, yeah, so you know, Reese Morgan's gonna be in the building to talk to you tomorrow. And I was like, holy crap.
It's like, that.
There's different levels to this.
Yeah.
So talked with him. And then I think there was a little bit of a dead period or whatever it is. Didn't hear anything for,
tell me and the people what that talk even was. Like, how deep was it?
Oh, like almost nothing. Like, I don't even think he even like said that you could walk on. It was like kind of like a general meet and greet, basically to see if I was like probably a complete idiot or not.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, it was, I don't even know if he said, like, offered me an invitation to walk on yet. he might have. I could be exaggerating, but it was just a general, like, hey, we're just, you know, slight interest. We're checking you out. So then the bowl game happened. Didn't hear anything for a long time. Still had no idea. Really, the only other interest I had was Western Illinois, the Leathernecks, wanted me to like maybe play some tight end, and I was going to long snap was going to be my deal.
Okay.
So, and I didn't hear anything from Iowa. So I was kind of thinking like, man, I might be a Leatherneck. Like, that's kind of like, it was my only option at that point, really.
And you're coming down to brass tacks. Like, you gotta make a decision on what your future holds, right? Like
it's getting late.
Yeah.
And it would have been about this time in 2015. It was like right around signing day, like Iowa kind of reached back out again. And I was like, hey, can I like come on like a visit or something to like just like quick? So went on a visit. I mean, at this point,
So you asked to come on a visit, basically.
oh yeah. So like, so I was like, I'm like, I don't know, like, can I at least come and see? Like, so I at this point, like I think it
Hold on, hold on. I want to stop you. This is a
okay.
three. This is a 3 year fucking starter, people. For
Two, two,
listening,
two.
at 2 year starter. This guy handled the ball on all fourth downs, unless we went for it because we did have Nate Stanley. But this guy handled the ball. The ball was in his hands for some big kicks, and he asked to visit. That is how the long snapper game works. That
That is.
is the fragility of special teams. I just want to just hammer that home for people. So anyway.
But so at this point, when I asked to come, like they had said that I could walk on. So I'm like, all right, I'd like to at least see the place that I would possibly be coming to. But really, that was probably more for almost show and like for my own. I don't even know, because like once they kind of came out and said that you can walk on, I'm like, you know what? Other stuff is great, but like being an Iowa fan, I grew up 25 minutes away from Iowa City. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna go. Like,
That's the dream. That's the dream.
yeah,
And you
it
just,
was.
somebody just opened the door for you to literally, you now have access. Someone told you, hey, Jackson Subert, we're going to give you a key that works to the Iowa football facility. And that's, I cannot, I mean, I think everyone out there understands, like, holy shit, people would pay for that, right?
Yeah.
Literally, we did pay for it, basically.
Oh yeah, for a long time. I'm still paying for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Wow, so late in the process. And so it was very similar with me. Coach Morgan, actually, he came by Marshalltown High School as well. I don't know if there's a high school in the state that he hasn't been to, man.
Oh, I don't think so either.
God, we talked to a lot of people. I don't know if you've ever listened to the show or any episodes, but we've talked to a lot of guys. I mean, we're talking Greenway brought up Reese Morgan, every single person on this place.
I think anybody from the state of Iowa, I
Anyone.
mean, yeah.
He somehow found a way to get to the. I swear to God, he was driving a spaceship around to make it to all those places. But
I have no idea.
it's unbelievable. And it was the same for me. Lester Erb, who was the running back special teams coach at the time, was basically like, I actually did go and snap in front of them the summer before my senior year. It's like, whoa, now we're really getting deep into the recruiting
Yeah.
process, right? Hey guys, want to pop in real quick and let you guys know that this show is supported by DRF Sports. Gosh, it was an amazing time going to Osceola, the Lakeside Casino and Hotel, and looking at that beautiful new, massive, the biggest in the state, by the way, excuse me, 4K video board to watch all the games on. You guys know what time of year it is. Basketball, college basketball is in full force. Men's and women's tournaments coming up, and there is no better spot. Go visit them down at that casino. It's a night, God, it's just a perfect spot to spend a little time, watch some games, throw a little change down. You could even bet like me, $10. Kevin and Drake give me crap about it. I don't care. $10, $100. Hell, if you have $1,000, throw whatever you want down on it. DRF, they make it happen. It's beautiful. Their signage, everything, the copy, every piece of what they've done at that casino looks amazing, and they continue to support our show and allow us to continue making this show and bringing on cool people in the Iowa football, Iowa sports space. So we're very appreciative of them. They are specifically different from other sports books that shall not be named because they bring you the education, the analytics, the data to help you bet informed. Okay? DRF Sports, bet smarter. Also, want to take a second to let you guys know the show is supported by AdCraft, our boys in Clinton, boys and girls. I'm sure there's some phenomenal ladies that work out at the Clinton facility as well. AdCraft has all your answers, okay? And if you want to see what some of those answers are for us, the Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise, you can go to our website right now. It's actually a web front run by AdCraft. So not only do they have the ability to create your custom merch, all right, take your ideas and turn them into reality. But then they also have the ability to make an online storefront for you to help you sell your product, or at least get it distributed to the people that it needs to be in. Okay. All you really need to do is promote your store and then you collect the profit check. Okay. Plus, they've got the fastest turnaround time in the game. AdCraft's web store curators will work with you to create the most optimal web store for your audience. They'll help you with the product selection, artwork, store scheduling, and much more. And a lot of that was really, really relevant to us when it comes to product selection. You guys know when we do our limited runs, whether it's the winter and we're trying to do long sleeve gear, hoodies, sweatshirts, all that kind of stuff. Or maybe it's the summer. We're trying to do tank tops or stuff that you can wear to the football games when it's hot out. They do it all. They're great for high school fundraising campaigns, companies. You know, they work with Grandview University Football, Nestle Purina, ADM, a whole bunch of places, including the walk-ons. You can visit adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. That's adcraftwebstores.com. Not only that, dude, but you know, like how we would have the special teams camp in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Woods would like, hey, do any of you guys want to help with the special teams camp we're having this weekend, right?
For sure.
So the year that I was coming out of high school, they were building or they were re-turfing the fields from or resurfacing, or there was construction. So the special teams camp for that summer was canceled.
Perfect timing.
And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? And I actually remember going back onto the website and searching, like, this would have been 2012 that it was canceled. So like 2011 special teams camp Iowa, 2010 special, every year for like the last 10 years, you could pull up like their registration form. And of course the 1 year that I need to go and show what I've got and try to become a Hawk, it was canceled. So what I did was, again, along the same lines of recruiting yourself, I emailed, they were still having, like, you know, the position camps, right?
The important kids, yep.
Of course. So I emailed him and said, yo, I'm a snapper. There's no special teams camp. I'd like to come at the beginning or the end of one of those team camps or one of those, you know, let's call them athlete camps.
Whatever it
and,
is, yeah.
Yeah, elite camps or whatever. And I just want to snap. Give me 15 minutes, right? Give me 10 minutes to snap to you. I mean, I'll do it in a hallway if I have to. And I ran, I showed up, we're in Kinnick Stadium for the camp. I'm an hour early. Lester Erb and Eric Soup Campbell, who used to be the wide receiver coach before I got in there, were both down in the field waiting for me. They made me lace up my pads and my helmet and run cross fields and then do my snaps. Jeez. So they were like conditioning me out, trying to just like, you know, figure out if I was worth any kind of a shit, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but it was like a 20-mile-per-hour windy day. I mean, it was. Oh. I mean, I fought through the fucking desert and hell to get through.
That is perfect snapping conditions. Yeah.
Oh my God. So I'm you know, and I'm a fat high schooler at this point. I'm fat. I'm using one of my one of their balls, which I've never touched before. And that sounds weird, but in specialist terms, like, you want to have familiarity with the football that you're snapping. I'm running cross field. I'm out of breath. I can't even see. Like, I'm looking back and I'm like blind because I'm dying from the conditioning they're making me do. And then I'm also snapping with a 20-mile-per-hour Kinnick crosswind. I did good enough to where, very similarly, they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you like on a game day visit. And so I actually got to go on the game day visit. It's just so funny how here, like, I identify so hard with, like, hey, could I come and, like, could I maybe walk on? Like, you know, like, is it a possibility?
Would you guys be opposed or?
Right. No? Yeah. And then when they finally open the door, it's like, well, yeah, I'll do anything. Like, if you're going to let me do it, it's a done deal. Also, from my perspective during that time, right, like, you're trying to make a decision. I have a feeling that the reason they reached back out to you was, for one, you were obviously, you panned out. So there was something that they saw, right? You had good size. What are you, 6'3"?
Just about, just under.
6'2", 6'3". Good size out of high school. Could snap the ball. And what we had going on in the complex at that point was me and Zach Johnson.
I remember the name.
And so you never met Zach.
No, we never overlapped.
But I did, we did talk about him enough that you know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, putting it lightly without going too hard on the guy, because he just wasn't meant to be as a Division I football player. Kid from Minnesota. I think he was from Minneapolis. Pudgy, non-athlete, but could snap, right? Like, his A ball was good. The problem was it didn't show up very often, and he was mentally soft as shit. And I think he made it through spring ball and then did not come back for summer. So that summer, I was the only long snapper on the roster going into my third year. And we needed a guy. So
apparently just needed anybody.
In walks Jackson Subert, and your college career begins. Tell me a little bit about that. I want to hear about your first impressions, maybe the first time you walked into the complex or got to lace him up with the specialist group. Do you remember any of that stuff?
Oh, for sure.
Were you in camp your freshman year?
I was not.
Okay.
Came to summer, didn't go to camp. But I remember, like, some of the big things that, like, struck me was, you know, we have our lifting cards, all just broken up by last names. And so one of the first days I'm going through looking for my lift card, and I like flip by Tavon Smith, and I'm like, holy, like, just like that little thing. It's like,
yep,
man, my lift card is in the same little, yep,
I remember the same shit,
like something like that. Or, I think this might've been my first day working out, dropping my stuff off. In the laundry, turned around, and CJ was there. So, you know, being an Iowa fan, like, I've seen him on TV and stuff.
Yep.
He just, like, literally nothing. He just said, like, hey, what's up? And, like, kept walking, and I was just like, holy Christ.
Yeah,
like,
you realize that, like, oh shit, like, we're peers now.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we're on the same level, but, like, yeah, we're actually on the same team. Like, it was just like astonishing. Like, it took me a little while to get over. It's like, wow, these dudes, like, I've been watching on TV are just like right over there working out. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't even feel like you are on the same team for a while. It's like,
oh, for sure.
It almost feels like, it almost feels like you're in the farm system or something. Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, I'm a freshman and I'm like, I'm on AAA and.
Oh, no doubt.
This is the big,
like I was not trusted to do scout team punt.
Yep.
For my freshman year. I do one of the those two were burned in my memory. The other thing that I can remember to this day, so went to summer lifting, didn't go to camp. Like, I'm a walk-on long snapper, understandable freshman year.
Yep.
And then I get back with the first day of class guys, and we had a punt meeting. And so walk in, and, you know, they have it up on the screen. Basically the seating chart is the depth chart.
Yep.
So you're in the first row, first, second, and it goes back, and they had, I want to say, probably five or six long snappers, including Hurt Drew Ott at the time, who, like, his ACL or something.
Oh,
something happened to him, and he was still on there, and my name was not on that depth chart, and I came to be a long snapper. I was like, oh man,
you didn't even make the first depth chart.
I didn't even have, I was not on it.
Holy shit. I'll tell you who was on it at the time. It was probably Reed Sealby. Because he kind of washed out slash failed a little bit as an offensive lineman, you know, what was buried on the depth chart. So Coach Doyle wanted
Matt Nelson
to
was on there.
Who?
Matt Nelson.
Ah.
Was on there for a decent while.
It was probably
Nathan Loda would have been on there.
Yep. It was probably Sealby, Vivoda, Nelson, Ott, and then you would have been next, but they ran out of room.
They didn't have anybody. Yep.
That's unbelievable, man. That's so unbelievable. What's going through your mind? Are you like just like, okay, oh, yes, sir. Like, okay, that's how it works. Or was a little bit of it like, oh shit. Like, am I on the team? Like, did someone mess up and like forget to tell the coaches that I'm on the team? Or,
oh no, there was like plenty of those of like, do they know that like I'm around? like, am I still welcome? Like, I know I was here for like a little bit or like, so.
Oh fuck.
But no, I was like, you know what? That's kind of the way it goes. I haven't been around for 3 weeks at that point.
Like, and you know that. what it was is because they didn't print a depth chart until we got to camp and you weren't there. And so the depth chart that was out was like, okay, we've got one legit snapper, Kluver's in the front, and then we just got to fill this spot with as many potential people who might not fuck up as we can. They had just forgotten. Because I'm pretty sure pretty quickly then you were.
I was on there. Yeah. So okay. It was definitely like a clerical error, whatever. Yeah. But to the dude that's been there, you know, for a couple of weeks and just getting back, I'm like, oh, wow, that could be like,
shit. They forgot about me.
Yeah. I'm like literally not on the team anymore.
And it sort of speaks to how they are very phase oriented. The staff is, and it has to be, right? What I'm trying to say is when we would go to camp, if you weren't someone in camp, like if you were one of the few guys that didn't make camp or anything else, right, during camp, nothing mattered except for the guys that were in camp and what the camp schedule was and what was going on in camp practices. Nothing mattered. The president of the United States could have walked into the room and we would have been like, who at that time would have been Obama. Hey, Mr. Obama. Yeah, it's great that you're here, but we got shit to do. Like, that's how serious shit was.
For sure.
Like, wow. That's awesome. Any, you came in with, who'd you come in with?
So it was, my class was like, Brady Ross, Nate Bobota.
Was there any other specialists?
Colton.
It was you and Rastetter. Could I forget? You and Rastetter. We've shit on Rastetter a couple times on the podcast.
Don't need to pile on by any means.
Oh, I know. And we won't. Colton knows that I love him. But obviously, you know, he threw it a little short on my one claim to fame.
You shot at glory. It's still glorious, but it could have been just like that next step up.
Right. There was one more level, right?
Yeah.
So you and Colton came in. And you know what? And for those listening, it's a miracle we've gotten this many words out of Jackson. He was kind of a quiet guy. I think you've come into yourself a little bit. Like you can.
Oh, for sure. Like I think honestly, I was like petrified. In my mind, I was like, there's 120 dudes on the team. I was 120. Like I'm the backup walk-on long snapper. Like. So I think I did let that like creep into other things. Like,
sure. And you know what? You were probably right. You probably were like 120.
I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah. But eventually, you know, Colton was a little bit different. He was a little bit more like me when he came in. And at the time for that single season, we still had Dylan and Marshall. And the elders of the group chose one of the two of you to basically shit on and modernly haze, if you want to call it that. And it did not happen to be you. It was not you.
Oh, thank God.
It was Colton. and he did it a little bit to himself, but
it was brought upon. He didn't help himself a lot. No. But I mean, who's going to pick on like, you know, like kind of the quiet, awkward kid. So wouldn't be any fun. Like,
exactly. So when did you, they graduate, 2015 goes by, like, okay, we joked about it. You're like, oh shit, this stuff's easy. Like, we'll just go to Indianapolis every year, Big Ten championship. We get into our first off season. I now have 2 years left, 16 and 17. What was your mindset like when once you got through the chaos of year one and you finally had time to sort of settle in, what was your mindset like? Were you pretty confident in even being, you know, let's call it this time of the year in your first off season, true off season in 2016. So you're 6 months into the program legit. At that point, had you already established like a confidence and sort of a path in your mind of like, okay, if I do all the right things here, this long snapper gig is kind of set up to where one guy leaves, the other guy steps in. Was that, were you confident in that already? Or what was that like in your mind?
I don't think I probably really would have been that confident until, it was a little while, maybe after that spring ball.
Okay.
Cause at this point I really hadn't done, like, I sure wasn't doing the twos. I really wasn't doing, much scout stuff. I did that a little bit later on. I really hadn't done almost anything for reps or anything like that to build some confidence. The weight room was, I was like kind of starting to build, but I came in, you know, really gangly and weak. So it wasn't real hard to get stronger when you start with nothing. So, right. But it would have taken a little while, but that was definitely kind of my mindset of, it's not going to be given to you, but after 3 years, like, there's going to be an open spot. And by that time you need to be ready to rock and roll, basically.
Because you had the best claim to it, right? Like, barring some outside, like, we're going to go and get a transfer long snapper, you could kind of see the writing on the wall. Cause it's not like they bring in three or four offensive linemen a year, like they do on other positions. It is like that for the other positions. Mm-hmm. For a long snapper, it might be one every year, probably a couple years spaced in between.
Yeah.
And if you're the guy who can sort of fill that, okay, this is the next in line, like, they'll ride with you until you mess that up. So that's, for me, I had to adapt to that quick, because when I stepped in, Casey was gone, you know, mm-hmm. at that point. And so that was a little bit of why, I sort of assumed the role without earning it a little bit. So when did you start feeling, let's call it functionally competent? Like, when
I think, like, for sure, when I traveled, so it would have been your senior year, my redshirt sophomore year.
Third
season. So it would have been like 3 years into the program.
Yep.
At this point, traveling and stuff, kind of seeing how, everybody, like all the starters, have operated for a little while.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. And by this time I was also getting some more reps and, you know, gaining a little bit more confidence. I think by the time that season rolled around, I was like, all right, like, I still got a year to wait, but if something did happen, I think I can do this.
I can go do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say from my memory, I want to say, like, maybe even the end of your second season, like that 2016 season, I felt comfortable. I think somebody, it might have even been like Coach Woods or Coach Wallace at the end of the 2016 season in one of the games was like, hey, should we throw Subert in and get a few reps? And I was like, I mean, I think he'll do just fine. I don't know. I don't think you got in any games in 16.
I didn't.
In 17, you did, though. You took a couple reps in that year.
I didn't. I was supposed to. That was the year we killed Nebraska at Nebraska. And I happened to be like just standing next to Coach Woods, and we had like a late touchdown or something,
right,
for the point. And out of nowhere, he just goes like, Subert, snap.
Yeah.
And like, hadn't touched a ball. And
not
that this matters, but to me, who's never snapped in a game, like, this is the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
But I think you were already out there. And so it didn't end up happening, but tell you what, the heart rate went from collapse to holy Lord.
Your chest exploded.
Oh my. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I think I remember that because I remember coming off the field and you said something like, Coach wanted me to snap that. And I was like, oh, he did? And you were like, yeah. And your eyes were wide.
Oh, I can only imagine my face when he said that. Like, you serious?
And like, that's the other thing that coaches don't get is like, okay, second string Jackson didn't know that this was going to be a possibility. So second string Jackson hasn't done anything in a cold ass game for 3 hours. Like,
and just not even pretending to try and stay loose at this point.
No, not even close. So that's hilarious. You mentioned the way like we operate on a road game, and sort of in the specialists even have their own little standards of operation because they have to toe the line a little bit. Or better explained by not stepping on toes, right?
Mm-hmm. Stay out of the way.
There is a way to do things. And one of the key principles of that is very quietly. Don't make a lot of noise. Don't let people know you're there. Never have too much fun in front of people while they're in meetings or other stuff like that.
For sure.
When you got the lay of the land and started to see how, and I don't want to make it sound like I was better, but in that year, I happened to be the one leading the group. What did you think about all that? And did you feel prepared? Did it ever cross your mind like, okay, next year I'm going to be a fourth year junior. It's kind of my turn along with Miguel to sort of step into a role where I have to, like, how did you approach leadership as it got closer to you being the guy?
I really didn't put a ton of thought into it, to be honest. Like, I had just kind of seen, like, the mental side of it, practice side of what you guys had done in years prior. Also at this point, Keith has played a year. Mm-hmm. So we, for being young, had been around kind of a long time, I suppose.
That's true.
So I didn't really feel like, you know, it wasn't going to be like a rally the troops type of thing.
Sure.
We were our room. I think you could attest to this. When I got there, the specialist room was not in great standing. With the coaching staff and just, I mean, the talent in the room probably wasn't as high as it has been in years since.
It was the lowest talented room that we, you know, it's probably since that point.
So to kind of be there from there and then have other people or different people, maybe a little more skilled. I didn't really feel like we needed, you know, some direct leadership. Like, you know, I'm going to kind of try and do my thing.
We were very self-led too. At that point.
So I think a lot of people kind of responded to like, hey, you know what? We're going to kind of almost do all our own thing, but you watch other people and see what works for them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just silent leadership. I don't even know how to put it, but I didn't really put a whole lot of thought into it.
And for you, Miguel also was like, he was dad at that point.
Yes, you were.
Right. So, yep. That makes sense. I'm curious what your, you know, in the Iowa program, the whole thing is, you know, look to the guy ahead of you or the guy that has your job or the guy who's doing it well right now and take from him, learn as much as you can, because they're essentially laying out the blueprint, right? That's very much so how the Iowa program works at all positions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for you because that guy happened to be me. And while I knew for myself, and I'm very curious on your opinion of this because you're a smart guy, while I knew that I was doing things the way that I thrived doing them, what I'm getting towards is like, I maybe didn't take the most reps, right? I wasn't the guy who was, you know, like,
I was actually just thinking this as you were going,
I wasn't maybe like, let's call it the, you know, I wasn't Jake Hewlett, right? I didn't keep my mouth shut. I wasn't like I don't know. You know what I'm saying, right?
I understand what you like. Like, what did I learn from you?
Yes. I'm curious what your opinion was of me and how much you actually bought into, do I really have to like take the lead from Kluver here? Or can I maybe pick like a good few things and then maybe do some things better in my opinion or stuff that works better for me?
Yeah. One of the first things like I tried to adopt a little bit from you later in my career was the number of snaps. Like, when I was younger, I snapped a ton because, again, not a ton of confidence. Like, I got to snap a ton and try and build that up a little bit. So that was one thing. tried to snap less, which sounds kind of crazy, but
I'm curious about that because up through basically when I was there, you snapped a fuckload. I mean, a lot.
And that's, I did. And then I think Jason Baker kept coming around.
Old Bake.
And he kind of harped on me for it too. Like you just got to be a little more intentional. You can't just snap 100 times. So doing some stuff coming off the sideline, I tried to incorporate a little bit more, some quote unquote game reps.
Yep.
Some different things like that. And then just kind of like your mentality of it. Like I had never played just a game as a specialist. So I was kind of trying to learn without playing, but I learned really quickly from you. And then once I did play that, you cannot be locked in for the entire game. Maybe it's just me, but like I would sit on my little cooler when we're on defense and pretty much zone out. Like,
yep.
And then, all right, we got the ball. I'll find wherever I drop my helmet and, you know, start to get moving a little bit. But just some of that stuff, how you throughout the game, I guess, would be stuff that no idea. So that was something that I kind of had to pick up just from watching throughout your career.
Good.
On Saturday.
I'm glad I left something. I left some sort of cracker trail for you. Yeah. I think I was really good on game day, and the people listening at home are like, wow, Kluver's really making this podcast all about him. I mean, what did you expect? I took a lot from Casey in the way that he interacted with other people off of the field. I did not implement that as good as I could have because he is such a good person, like a perfect. Yeah.
Tough to
emulate Casey Kreider. I was just a little bit more hard-headed, figure it out on my own, clear my own path. And what I do think I had down pat was exactly sort of what you alluded to. Like when it came to game day, I knew exactly what worked for me. I was very good at sort of being keyed in when I had to be or not. I do think that as a specialist, like you said, like you maybe weren't the most vocal leader, didn't feel like you needed to be. I think Miguel at times tried to be a vocal leader, but he was so Miguel that it was a little nerdy, right?
A little off-putting sometimes.
Right, yeah. I thought that I led well vocally in a specialist role to the rest of you guys. And yeah, it really isn't about like your own personal flair that you add to it, but more so like, okay, here's how it's been done before me. How do I uphold this and make this system work for me and keep the other guys in the whole group in rhythm, right?
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting. So then 2016 rolls around, or no. 2018 rolls around. We're in your fourth season and it's go time. Right?
And it is go time.
And you had to wait 3 years for this moment. And hey, nothing went wrong. Like, was there, what were the emotions and the thoughts as you kind of led into that season? And I know when you're in it, you don't think about it like this, but like, did you stop and smell the roses? Did you have any like come to Jesus moments of like, oh, this is it?
I kind of had a feeling that if I could, you know, have a good spring ball, because I was the one going into spring ball. So I'm like, you know what, this is gonna be kind of my opportunity to either slam the door or have a little bit of conversation about it.
At this point, Spiewak was behind you one year behind you.
Yep. So it was Nate Pivota, and I all snapping. So had a good spring ball. So I still ended up being the one, had a pretty good camp. And I kind of knew going into it, but about a week or so before, I think Coach Woods came out and said it officially.
Right.
I think it didn't really hit me until I started to get like a little bit nervous. I remember I had like a Thursday afternoon class, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna skip that." Like before the first game. I was like, yeah, no, I can't go. Like, I'm.
It was one of those things where you're like, dude, I can't think about school right now.
Yeah, no, I was like, I'm not going to that. but I didn't get terribly nervous. Yeah, until I remember there was a drop. This is the opening drive of this game. Mm. A drop on like third and long, first possession, and you know, like they've already called like punt alert, get you going.
Yes,
like they just holler punt, and you start trotting out, and it's like, oh, so this is
it's finally for real. Yeah,
and the first punt snap I ever had got blocked. So
no, it did.
Yep.
Wait.
It was who was it? Miami of Ohio, maybe?
Yeah.
First punt of the year. Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, we did. No.
Yeah.
Did that make you with trauma? Like, well, I was like, you go out there?
I was absolutely shocked because, like, you know, snap and it's noisy and first snap ever. Snap and get cooking down the field and, like, just all alone. And the returner's, like, starting to come up. Yeah. What happened? Oh,
dude!
I turn around and they're like celebrating. They got the ball in their hand.
Now immediately your mind goes to, oh fuck! Did I throw it over his head? Did I, like, what?
Terrible
what?
Snap. Yep.
Yeah. What did I do wrong? Right.
Yep.
Oh my god, dude!
Oh,
I do remember that. I do remember that because in 2018, like obviously my first year out, so in a different way, emotional for anybody to watch. Yep. You know, I had suited. So for some reason they strung me along my true freshman year with Casey as his backup, even though I was redshirting. So I traveled to every game. Like I dressed every game of all five years. So I dressed 65 straight games in a row. And that Miami or whatever that opening game was the first game in 6 years that I was not, you know, that's an identity crisis a little bit. Right. Like, and I'm sure I was there in the stadium. I mean, I cried during the swarm, like teared up during the swarm. Cause it felt like we were passing it on to like the next group. Like I felt like I was like passing it on to you. Right. I mean, dude, I was talking to you under my breath while you guys went out there for that first snap and that happened. And I remember going, oh, fuck, that's not a great way to start.
Not ideal. Far from. Yeah. Oh,
my goodness. I mean, luckily it wasn't, you know, the Michigan game where it's tight. Like you guys were able to.
It ended up not being a huge deal.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Wow. But you did well. I mean, like you felt good like that. You know, you got two solid years and I don't remember there ever being I know for a fact that you in your mind like have the two or three snaps that you always are going to, because I do too.
Oh yeah.
I can immediately think back to 2014 Northwestern, 2014 Indiana, and 2014 Minnesota, along with the Michigan snap to Kaluzi where he decided to try and run it. And a couple others, like the, you know, a specialist always has his PTSD reps.
Oh yeah.
But you never threw it square over anybody's head. I don't think you threw any too bad of PAT snaps. So, you know, tell me about your 2 years. Like, how would you grade yourself? Like, was it everything you thought it was going to be?
I mean, it was pretty great. Like, on paper, I had a pretty good idea that, like, I was going to sit behind you for 3 years.
Yep.
To be expected. And then hopefully start for 2 years and then, you know, kind of see how the cookie crumbles after that. So I think you go through after starting for a year, I was able to get on scholarship. Like I kind of checked all the boxes of what I had planned. So I couldn't really ask for anything more after looking back on it.
That's awesome. 2020 rolls around. And Uncle COVID hits and you're right in the middle of your NFL prep, right?
Yeah. This
is something I'm intrigued in because I'll tell you, dude, when I realized sort of the gravity of the position I was in, right? I was going to have 4 years of starting experience under my belt. Sure, I'm 5'10", but 4 years at a Power 5 D1 college. Take a look at the other guys who do that kind of thing, and like, they're making camps. Like, they're going to get to at least, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to get that walk-on key to a NFL facility.
Yeah.
Be it not for 2 weeks, maybe in some cases.
A cup of coffee in the NFL.
Right. They're going to have a cup of coffee and they're going to get a practice jersey with their name on it. I was convinced. I was positive that was going to be my experience. I didn't expect or even think I was going any further, but I knew that I was going to get to say that for a week I got to play for an NFL team.
And that was my goal too.
And it did not happen for me. And you know what? I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe people just didn't like the ball that I threw back, but I blame it on my height still to this day. But then I look at my guy, Jimmy Soob. He has 5 inches on me. And shit, you weighed probably 240, 235, 240.
Yep.
I mean, you were the prototype, man.
I know.
I don't want to bring up sad memories or stories here or broken dreams, but like, I want to hear like how that spring went training wise. Obviously it got torn apart, and then kind of the end of your pursuit as far as football goes as a career.
Yeah. Like you said, 2020 spring, pro day prep was in full swing. And I think it was like whatever pro day is, it's like on a Monday. I think it was like the day or the week before.
Yep.
Exactly. Like 7 days. Cause that day we came in, trained, and that's when Coach Doyle was like, you know, COVID's going on. We're going to have a virtual pro day. Like, we'll just send out tape to everybody. Like, all right, whatever.
Yep.
Still can perform. So I think it was Tuesday. The next day we came in, trained, and that was, they locked down the facility. That was the last day I trained at Iowa. But before that, I had gone to like a specialist camp down in Arizona, trying to get my name out there. Thought it went well.
The Cole Showcase?
It was Zahner.
Or was it Zahner? You went to Zahner.
Yeah.
Wow. And I always thought to myself, man, should I have gone to Zahner? Like, did I fuck up? Man, no.
I went, well, what can I say? I went again the next year.
You really?
So that's what, so I didn't do anything. Like, I just kind of went, I came back to Williamsburg.
Cause everything was shut down. It's like, okay, well, yeah. This is.
So that was the deal. I was trying to get into the NFL and find a job.
Yeah.
Going on. So, worked around here for basically the summer. And then when New Year's kind of came around, it's like, I was kind of on the fence on whether I was going to do pro day, just in 2021.
Yeah.
So I decided to do it. So just trained here at the rec, did it. I went to another Zahner camp, did pro day, thought it went pretty well. But you know, like, you're just waiting for the phone to ring and the son of a gun just doesn't want to. So
just never wrong, huh?
And it just didn't, like, it just, I mean, I don't know. So at some point you can see the writing on the wall. Like, yeah. I'm now an entire year removed, and well, as we
plus.
Speak
yeah.
now. Further, but at the time, over a year removed, I felt like I had put some decent things out and performed about as well as I could hope in front of scout, all scouts. So it's like, hey, you know, if it doesn't do it, then you're out of luck.
Yeah, I felt this. I felt the same way, man. Because there's not a lot of, for a long snapper or a kicker or a punter, there isn't a lot of boxes to check. In that process, it's like, okay, did I perform well when the scouts watched me? And hey, did I go to a camp and at least put my name out there on the circuit? And like, did you have an agent?
Yep.
I didn't even have an agent. So that's another thing that I thought was like, fuck, man, should I have gotten an agent who would have like lobbied for me and like tried to call everyone he knew to try and get me into a camp? Maybe, maybe not. And you just sit there and you're like, I don't know what else there could be. And I think for you, And I would even say for like the other people in your draft class, like you guys, I mean, COVID fucked you guys like hard. So that draft in 2020 still happened, right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the last couple drafts, there's been a long snapper in the draft late. Do you remember that day or that weekend, like roll by and think like, cause that's maybe the weekend, like, hey, that you get a call and they'll bring you in.
I can't remember. So I had my agent and he said, cause I think a couple of them went or like got drafted.
Yep.
And he's like, I wasn't 100% on this logic, but he's like, great, one less off the board. And sure. I'm like, well, true, but that's one less team that needs a long snapper. So right. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a great thing.
Did you have any idea? Cause I still don't really know where I was at, but did you have any idea of like what ranked guy or where you were in the bucket of apples that the NFL thought they were choosing from? I had an idea that I was top five, like I was fourth or fifth,
okay.
Coming out of my class. And I was thinking like, for sure you had to have been top three, like 2 years of experience at Iowa. I don't know what else more they want, but you know,
I felt, well, the only thing, I guess, going back, I was the Manly like semifinalist or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was top 12, okay. I think. But then I looked at, so then the finalists that year, and I looked at them, I'm like, you know what? Like, I feel like I'm
right
in that, you know, in that air. Maybe I'm not top three, but maybe I'm four or five. So I have no idea what number I would have been, but okay. Just going off of that, I would have been top 12, I guess, junior long snappers. So, but yeah, just fingers crossed. And it just
didn't. So that draft weekend goes by in 2020. It's like, okay, the whole time that year, then you're thinking like, okay, but it's COVID. So I still kind of got to see this through even through next year. And so you're still snapping as you're like hanging out in Williamsburg, man.
Yeah. I was, you know, I probably wasn't doing near as much as I like should have been if sure. I like actually believed that I was going to get a call. Cause I'm like, you know, I'm not 100% sold on it.
Right.
But I would snap from time to time working out. And then just, you know, it was always like, well, it's the off season. So be ready because people are like, you know, slots are moving. Yep. And then it was like, it's training camp. Be ready. Slots are moving. Then the season starts, be ready. People get hurt during the season. And it just like, it was always like, you know, here it comes.
And that got old quick.
Oh yeah. It's like, no one's calling.
Yeah. So. And then you still did it. Would have been a year ago from right now. You went to honor again. And after that, did you walk away from that camp going like, what was your intention? Like, I'm going to see this through the 2021 draft. And if I don't get a call, then that's it. I'm hanging it up.
So my idea was basically, I just wanted to do pro day. Like I wanted to make sure I can go out in front of, I know people are going to come to the University of Iowa pro day.
Yep.
I want to go out and, you know, one, not just snap, like kind of try and pretend that I'm a little bit of an athlete.
Right.
So just, you know, some things that I can market myself on.
How are the numbers? How'd you do?
I was surprised.
You balled my out. Goal you balled was, out for your own self.
My goal was I didn't care what it was going to be on the 40. That was my one that I really had no idea.
Sure.
Because I would just like run on the Williamsburg football field and just run it as fast as I can.
Yep.
So I'm like, if it can just start with a four,
yeah,
I don't care.
And you got it.
And it was a 4.87. I was like,
holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, and
yeah.
you got me on it too, man. I ran 4.92. Oh man.
Oh, they told me. I was like, oh yeah. So
you thought you were in the league, man. You're like,
I'm like, that's, I sealed it. I'm like, I can move. I'm like, I can move. I benched pretty well.
How many bench reps you put up?
19, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, you're throwing up some numbers.
I mean, I was like, I'm kind of, and then I snapped pretty well too. So I'm like, so I guess the idea was I wanted to get in front of some people and, you know, give it a shot. And at least then I'll know that was it. Like, I didn't have to wonder if I would have done this.
You saw it through and you felt good about it. Yeah.
So now it's just like, yep, didn't happen.
So that was that. Yeah. So that would have been, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, nobody called through that draft. And afterwards you just kind of make that, you make your peace with it. I've been there. It's how this podcast. How the podcast started, man.
Haven't touched a ball since that day. So
really.
Yep.
Oh man, we might have to get the band back together and get some reps in sometime. Let somebody that's in there right now get Torrey Taylor to open up the field for us, because he's going to be there for another 10 years. And
I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Which that would be insane, and he could do it. Fucking A, man. That's incredible. So much specialist specific stuff. I guess we'll bring it about, and I've kept you way too long already.
No, I got nothing but time.
I know, and this is like the last time you're gonna fully relive this moment too, probably. I know. some of the, you played it. Oh, you played football. You get that when you go and you meet somebody new, or a significant other or a family member introduces you to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, you're the one that played for Iowa. And it's like, yeah, you got to go through that whole thing every time. Right. And then they ask the question, what are some of your favorite memories? Is there any snaps or games that specifically stick out to you? It probably in your 2 years starting, but could have been before that as well. I mean,
yeah. I would say, it's tough to beat, when I was younger, when we beat Michigan, that was nuts. Just because it was like kind of at the end and you almost didn't see it coming until it happened. Mm-hmm. Beating Ohio State, completely different. Still great, but a completely different game. Like just a no doubter. But for me, like having both beating Nebraska and snapping two back-to-back season-ending field goals and
to Keith and Miguel.
That's two different, like those two are tough to beat. Like
hey, talk to me about the one in 2018, the Miguel one. First of all, he told me that he pissed his pants
Yeah.
Did you know that happened?
I didn't at the time. No. I was fully more concerned about it was kind of starting to.
It was wet, dude.
A little bit.
It was wet.
And I was like, I was just standing over there, like, and you could see it coming. Yep. Like, all right, this is going to be it. So you have a little mental time. And I was like, you're kidding me. This is going to be my first like game winning field goal, and it can't be dry. Like,
Man. And dude, I was there for that game. I was there for that game. I was in the away on the away side, the east side, towards the north end zone. And so I was basically lined up with the line of scrimmage.
Nice.
And it wasn't a long field goal per se. But it was mid range. And I remember turning to my wife and going, oh, it's a little more moist than I'd like it to be. Like I hope the boys have it under control right here. And when you snapped that ball and it was clean and he put it down and Miguel kicked it through, I thought, God damn it, I'm proud of these men. Oh, come on. It was like a real dad moment, man. It was fucking awesome.
I remember like kind of going nuts and whoever was next to me in the line, like, doing whatever, and then turning around and Miguel is on like the clear other south end zone with just people like swarming after him. But that was great. Keith's too. Like I remember going out there and his was like a 48 yarder or something like that.
Yeah.
So we were maybe 49, because I think it was like we were just a yard beyond the 30.
Yep.
And I just remember, like, I don't really ever pay attention to the yard line that we're on.
Sure.
But they called a couple timeouts and wandering out there for like the third time, like, we are a long ways away.
Yeah.
But, his was great too, just because the conditions, like for him to make that was a great kick in the wind, a little chilly, and he did it like three times.
Yeah.
So basically don't screw it up and get her done.
So the last game I want to ask you about is, those are great, obviously. The storm delay in 2019.
Yeah.
Would have been your senior season, the Iowa State rivalry. It was a fucking month. I mean, it was, you could see it. The field was trashed. Those conditions are not ideal for special teams. And you and the boys went out there and went 4-for-4 on field goals. Credit to Keith, right? Credit to Keith. Putting those through. But I mean, you're part of that operation. Like, you had to feel pretty good about that day as well.
Yeah. I think you can probably attest to it too. My mentality was always just get it back there and they will make you look good. So
and snap it a little inside because at least then they can catch it in their body and it won't be out in front of them.
So I know right before half, I threw a terrible, like rotating, like it might have been end over end. But Colton got it down, made it, like, don't care.
You know that the next day you're going into film and you're going to see it on film and it's going to be like, oh fuck. Like that was, I'm so sorry. But like in the moment you're like, awful. Hey, it went through the post, man. It like,
yep,
we got it done.
I think it counts for three.
Yeah.
But no, that was, and then being out there, I think it was my fault, to be honest. I just didn't like snap it for a false start at the end, right before right before they fumbled it. And it was a delay game and then like a false start. So we just spotted them 10 yards. And I remember like, hopefully we don't need those 10.
And being on that play where it hits that guy's back and Devontae falls on it. I mean, what are you thinking then? You're like, oh my God. Like what? That's such a relief feeling. It's got to be.
Because I think, for sure. Because I think everybody knew, like they catch that, they're going to. I mean, they're gonna.
There's a chance. So, yeah.
Yeah. To see that, I think I was just in such shock. I had. You just lose some body control. Like,
absolutely. The entire game, I had been quiet, watching with some friends and my wife here at the house. And it hit the back and Devontae fell on it. And I finally like allowed myself to let the walls down. And I was just like almost insidiously, like laughing, giggling.
Yeah.
Like they fucked it up. They fucked it up. We got him again. Fuck those guys. You know, like I'm just,
Just going nuts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. I had a buddy on their sideline for Iowa State, dressed at that time. And we just talked about it. Like, maybe this summer, but he's like, yeah, we've like never talked about that play. Because he was like, if you look, he's right there. Oh, and I go just like screaming, jumping past him. I was like, oh, I had no idea you were like right there, but.
Oh man.
But it was probably one of the most shocking things that, you know.
Oh yeah. How was the locker room after that game?
Oh, unbelievable. Like
rowdy.
After being there for 8 hours or whatever it was.
God.
And then for my class, obviously, like we didn't play a lot of us as freshmen, but that was 5 wins.
Yep.
That's pretty emotional to
to
beat your rival every time that you played them. So
yeah, that's that's great. One last question. I see you as a cerebral guy, probably more than me. You fall into this experience of like Division I football, like a lot of us walk-ons did. And like, then you look back and you're like, holy shit. Like I really was one of the lucky ones, you know, like it's incredible. You look back at yourself and like when you were that eighth or ninth grade kid and you're like, oh my God, how did I, out of all the kids, get that opportunity? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the football, what do you think? What do you think Iowa left with you or you took away from that elite experience of a Division I eventual scholarship and being able to be a part of an organization like that, that, that now you as an adult, unfortunately, adulting sucks.
Yeah.
But you know, you're, what are you, 25 now?
I am. Yeah.
As a 25-year-old young man, like, what do you take into the real world that, that Iowa provided you?
I think just the generic answer that, I mean, is true because it's just a testament to the coaching staff and what they put through you is just work ethic. Like I sat behind you for 3 years and you have to, again, a cliche, like act like you're going to be the starter. So, and if you're not, there's enough dudes around in the weight room and at practice, even for a long snapper, they're going to catch on and notice that you're just kind of loafing.
Weak dog in the pack. They're going to, they're going to pick you off.
That, and then just, it's, it did change a lot of, like, I thought I was such a hard worker going in. And then you get around that. And it's just not even close to the case. So I think that definitely has to be in just doing, man, I'm not very articulate. But like just the day to day, think is, however you want to say it, you know, at Iowa, it's easy. You have a goal. They have a plan. You show up on Monday, chase that goal. I think the tricky part is when it gets a little more abstract in the real world. So that's kind of something that been kind of trying to find. But I think that is one thing that Iowa teaches you, that you're not going to make huge, like the slight edge, no huge gains in one day, but what are you going to do? So
it's that grindstone mentality for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this was, and listeners can probably hear it. We just went for, an hour and 20 plus minutes and it was a fucking pleasure for me. We really haven't, connected or talked at length, not even close to something like this since I left, man. So to be able to catch up and talk to you has been an incredible one. And I learned, you know, there were some sincere questions that I had never asked or spoken with you about. So, we need to sometime get like a specialist for you. Call it like the 2015 or 2016 season when we had that huge group, invite Prohl, invite Candy.
Everybody's coming back. Yeah.
Kane Train, Dylan Kidd, fuck it. Get Ron Caluzzi in there. Like let's have a party. And
Colton can come.
What?
Even Colton can come.
Colton can come too. We're going to have to work on it. We'll probably have to bust out the football and work on him throwing it around a little bit, but
no, sure.
And it was fun to catch up and I'm so happy that you gave me the time, man.
No, I appreciate it. I had fun.
Like I said, Wash Up Walk On fans, I don't know what episode this is, but I sincerely hope that you guys enjoyed getting to know about Jackson Subert, a little bit more about the specialist lifestyle. I always love when we can bring on other special teamers. So thank you to DRF Sports for sponsoring this podcast. As always, the GOAT's the best place to, you know, do your betting, especially during this, this March Madness season. And, we will talk to you guys next time. Peace.